So, honeybees, yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear the God stories. So, everybody would take your seats. And Cindy, if you'll let people know, if it seems like there's some missing. All right. I meant to mention that sketching back there on the table, the pencil of Danny and I and a farm, that was drawn by a young teenager, probably 16, probably 25 years ago. We were in, I think it was Montana, speaking at their church, and this young man saw that picture in his imagination, and he drew it and sent it to us, of a picture of the farm that one day Yahweh would give us. And I just find it, I mean, it's just fun. I found it the other day in my downstairs house. I'd forgotten about it. But I also was looking at it and thought, look at the storm clouds. You know, that was just a fun picture. He texted us 3 years ago and asked about he and his wife coming out to see the farm that he had had a vision of. And then that we had a date, and then COVID hit. So he didn't get to come, but it's just a fun little, another testimony of how the Lord encounters us. Oh. Okay, well, we'll go ahead. So what I thought we'd do this next hour is several things. If you have any questions or any things you want to discuss, we can do that, and also to share Yahweh stories, worship Him. Boy, this has been a fantastic day. I just love how He invited us into that. Just brag on me. We don't think about that very much, or I don't. Which meant worship. So that was really, really exciting to hear the stories you shared. And if you still have a story that you didn't share this morning and you'd like to, feel free to do so at this time, because we're going to just have an open mic. And I'd love to get feedback from your time in your group, and the good, bad, ugly, hard, easy, wonderful, you know, all those things that happen. Oh, good, here they come. So also I wanted to say that I forgot to say this earlier when I was talking about the advanced training that we're going to have. When I was back home, while y'all were in your encounter, I was encountering, and I just felt the Lord correct me on the advanced being training to become a facilitator, that direction. I felt a correction, and I believe he's gonna tweak that thing, and it's gonna be more about being prepared for His return. And who knows what that's going to look like, you know? So I wanted to make sure I corrected that, so I'm not misrepresenting. But I think it's going to be more. Few of you were here Friday night. I believe it's going to be a continuation of Friday night, probably on steroids by that time. So, which was, I shared Friday night. It's probably the most intense, powerful, prophetic message I think I've ever been asked to give. And it's only just beginning. There's so much to that message of becoming the people of the book of Revelation, becoming the bride of Christ. Angela, when I just looked at you, people say they can see that look on me, but I don't know if you saw it. But and I feel like I need to tell people so they don't think I'm staring. But when I just looked at you just then, I felt like I didn't feel like I heard. I heard the Lord say, and she's one of them. So you got a spirit of wisdom on you and counsel and might and a tender heart. Really love the Lord, and he sees you. So bless you. Okay, what were we doing? Oh, yeah. Switch into another gear here. So let's, who wants to share first about your time together? Toby can bring the mic to you. Okay, Omari wants to share first. Oh, sorry. Who wants to go first? Come on. Be the icebreaker. Okay, Deborah back here.
Oh, tip it up. So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit of what you said yesterday, because that's where the Lord ended up kind of meeting me. You were talking about like the swinging and the rocking, and like when you did that, the Lord reminded me about the same time I like dealt with a lot of abuse, like my favorite thing was to swing, and I would sing to the Lord, and it was really a sweet memory. And then yesterday you were saying that like about finding your safe place, and I'm like, I don't even know where that's at. You know, what does that look like? And when we were in there, the Lord's like, why don't you swing with me? Or why don't you swing? And I was like, okay. And so I was swinging and he was pushing me. And then it shifted and he was like, why don't you sit in my lap? And we were swinging and he's like, you've been working really hard. Why don't you let me swing? And why don't you let me do all the kicking? Why don't you let me like do all the motion? I was like, okay, I'll do that. And I just kind of sank into him. And then the scene changed because I was there for quite a while just swinging. And then I was in my little playhouse that my dad built above our cellar. And I was, I hate to cook now. I don't like to cook and I don't like to eat alone. And I, you know, all the things. But I was cooking my fake little food. And he was sitting at the table and was like, what you making me? And he's like, why don't you come and sit and eat with me? And so, like, I knew that, like, meant more than just in that moment. And then he's like, I make a place before your enemies. Like, and I set a table before the places of your enemies. And so that was really special. And then this one's kind of weird, so I kind of didn't want to share it. But I like massages. I haven't always liked touch, but I really like massages. And sometimes, anyway, that doesn't always go well. And I'm like, I need to find a good massage, you know, like that's not weird. And he was like, he had me laying down on the massage table, and he was the massage therapist. And he said, I want to like massage all these toxins and all the things that like have been, you know, stuck. So, and that's where that ended.
I have to go next because mine's food related too. So I've gained a lot of weight recently, And I thought I was dealing with a generational curse, and it was actually an inner vow. So I go before God and let him change my mind. So I broke the inner vow. But Ed was having this picture of me dining with Yeshua, that he's my dietitian. So.
I want to remind you, Drew, one of the things that he showed you is that he wants to eat with you. That was what he was saying, that he doesn't want you to be alone. And actually, you said that you are going to, this like wasn't before I was able to even share with you about the vision, that what the Lord showed me. That was so cool because he said, yeah, from now on I'm going to have Yeshua right here. He's going to sit right here next to me when I eat. He goes, he's like, I eat here, and every day I eat right here. And from now on, I'm gonna have him invite him to come eat with me right next to me. So that was really special and sweet. It was fun, and I think Yeshua's just so fun. He's so out of the box because at the end, like I was like having this God encounter while I'm in intercession for him. We decided that we were gonna Greg asked, does someone want to do like a God encounter, we can intercede, or do we do a group? And we decided, Andrew said, well, there's something I want to, you know, go before the Lord about. And so that's what we did. So Greg facilitated, I interceded. But during my intercession, I got lost in this God encounter. Yeah, so I was interceding. My eyes were closed the whole time, actually, almost the whole time. And but at the end, it was so fun because I was like tracking, like right when he was saying, just before he said that I want to have Yeshua eat with me, I saw Yeshua was a limo driver and he was in a tux, and Andrew was in a tux, and he opened the door, Yeshua opened the door and invited him into this limo. And there's this huge stretched limo and there was like all this food all around it. And he just would look at Andrew and he would just give him a look, and Andrew would look to Yeshua, and it was like everything was there. It wasn't don't eat. There was not a do's and don'ts. It was just an invitation that I'm going to be here with you, and there was no word spoken. It was just them walking through, and I was like outside, what looking in, as Yeshua was just observing him make choices, and he was looking to Yeshua, and Yeshua would just kind of give him a loving okay kind of nod, and they were having fun. It was so much joy in there. And so I was watching this happen, and then right then he goes, you know, I see my room, I see from now on I'm going to have, oh, I see Yeshua here, and he's eating with me, and he wants to dine with me. And I just think it's so fun how he meets us, and he's so non-religious. He's not about rules and about do's and don'ts, you know. He's not about good or bad. He's about just the fellowship part of it, and he loves to be with us, so it's special.
I told my group he healed something I didn't know he was going to heal. Initially, when she was having us kind of just relax, you know, she was starting at the top and going down, and I had this sensation on the bottom of my foot, and then I had a memory come back. I'm like, well, is that what you want to heal? And he said, nope. It's not what I want to heal. He said, I want you just to come up on my lap. Because usually when I go to my safe place, I'm with Jesus on a dock at the lake, and we're kicking our feet in the water. But this time it was Abba Father. And he said, I want you to come and sit on my lap. And I've done that before, but I've always seen myself, seen myself on his lap. But this time I was on his lap. And he just kept emphasizing, I want you to smell how I smell, and I want you to feel my breath on you, and I want you to hear my lungs as I'm breathing and my heart as it's beating, and my arms that are around you. And I was just, he was snuggling me into him. And then just, sorry. She asked the one, some, had us ask some wonderful questions. And one of the questions was, what is the favorite thing that he created? And he said, well, I one of the favorites is the stars, so that when you look at those stars, you see how big, how much I love you. And the sand, so that you know all my thoughts for you. And then time, because of the time that I can spend with you, and we can spend together for eternity. And there's more, but it was just, when it was all done, I was just like, wow, it healed that father place in me, and this comfort that I never had before, and a relationship that I longed for and always wanted. I wanted so much, my heart was, I want to be like my dad. And he said, you want to be like me. And so he's holding me close like that so that I can know who he is and be a reflection of that. And he's healing those places that I didn't know that he was going to touch.
Prompting me to share this because it was a great facilitator moment with this precious woman here. So my four ladies were connecting and doing well, and then this was so cool. So they were all connecting, and precious Sharon, who, oh, her spirit, she's such a worshiper. It was so beautiful. And she whispered to me, can I laugh? Well, I thought she'd go, ha, ha. So I said, yes. And I misunderstood her. So she stood up at the window and was worshiping and singing, not words. And I was just watching her, and I'm like, what a worshiper she is. But the others weren't able to stay connected because of the singing. So I, as a facilitator, I had a real dilemma. Like, this beautiful woman's worshiping, and I told her she could make noises. But I could tell the others were having, I know I wouldn't be able to. So I asked the Lord, this is the facilitator training here, Yeshua, what should I do? He said, ask her to be silent. And I'm like, really? I waited. Yeshua, he goes, just ask her to not sing out loud. So I went over to her, and oh, she was so precious. I just gently asked her. She goes, oh, of course, no problem. Oh, absolutely. And I knew she would connect silently. So that was so good. And Deborah, do I have permission? Okay, so Deborah, this precious lady who just shared, was so connected so beautifully today, and I knew it was hard for her, and I could see she wasn't able to connect. She shared with us later that, and let me see if I say this right, she's never been validated or heard, or her needs were overlooked. Time would get robbed from her, which has happened. Yeah. Did you hear that? She felt like she was getting robbed from the encounter because she couldn't connect. But she was so precious. She told me, don't tell her to stop because everybody is being so precious, you know, because I kind of checked with her. And it's okay, though. Don't tell her to stop. But I asked the Lord, and she said at the end, that so validated her that the Lord cared enough about her to ask her to stop. So her gift to the Lord and then to be silent became a gift for Deborah. It was so beautiful. And for me as a facilitator, it was like, oh, Yeshua, you're so wonderful. He's the one who directs. And, you know, if you don't think like so many of us facilitators, we're always like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, we don't have all the experience in the bathroom with like Rhonda, but, oh, he shows up. He so shows up. All we have to do is ask him and listen, and he's so wise. So that was so beautiful. And all these women were just amazing. It was a really special experience for me to be with them.
As we were waiting for to the Lord, I had lots of places I had met with him in the past. So I said, well, so where do you want to meet with me? And he took me by the on the beach. But he said, we have to clear some clutter out. And so we got a rake, and he cleared the clutter out. And he said, now, let's just rest. And that's hard for me to do. But I did. I rested, and I think I slept for a few minutes, too.
Yeah, that was my group, and I just want to say we just had a lot of peace in the room. Just the Lord just met us in the way of rest and peace and different things. So, amen. It was fun to hear yours.
That reminds me of a training I was doing. We had it over at the Hope House in the basement. And during the encounter time, the group encounter time I did with the whole room, a young man, there wasn't much room to spread out. So a young man got up. I told him, if you can find a place on the floor and you want to be there, help yourself. So this guy comes up, college age, and he just lays out right here beside me on the floor. And then other people were all over the place. And we're in the room while you're the presence of the Lord comes, and you know, I could just see people were crying and people were smiling and was watching the room. Everybody's just so engaged, and I am like getting undone because the presence of the Lord was so strong. And just about that time, this guy down here lets out the biggest snore. And if you know me and my sense of humor, I about fell off my stool laughing so hard. And the room just, all of a sudden, you know, awake, oh sleeper, rise from the dead. The room came alert. And then he just kept on snoring. He was just having himself the best sleep. And so then I ended it, and he woke up, and he sat straight up, and he said, wow, I just had the best dream. And I'm like, all right. He said, I encountered the Lord in my dream. So anyway, that just reminded me of that. Never know. Oh, anybody else want to share? All righty, Toby, all the way up here, bud. You took a break and it wasn't time. The mic's up here. Over here, yeah. Melissa is patiently waiting.
Okay, well, I've had encounters before with the Lord and some sessions. And so when we were trying to go to, that safe place, and I was like, okay, Lord, where do I go? I was in, went from one place to the other, and I just kept bouncing back, like when I was dancing and being a ballerina too, dancing with the Lord, because I never really had a father, so this is, he was really just filling me with his, this fatherly love that I really needed. And then when I had a pool, I used to be in the pool, and I used to swim by myself, like at midnight, and just spend time with them, look up at the stars, and just, it was my alone time with them. And so I was like, okay, I went here, I'm over here, I'm over here, and I couldn't figure out where I was going to go. So I'm swimming, and I'm under the water, and now, mind you, I don't put my head underwater because I don't like being underwater. So I was actually swimming under the water, and it was beautiful, and it was like this precious, like, blue, clear, clean water. I didn't really see a whole lot on the ground or anything. It was just clean, and it's peaceful. And then he was with me down there for a while. Then when he pulled me up, there was like a storm, and then we walked over towards like a beach area into, he was like, I didn't understand what the storm was at first, but at this point in time. So I went down and I was like, okay, well, what else do I do? You know, what are we doing? And, you know, what do you have for me, or what are you trying to tell me? And then he's like, grabs my hand, and he's walking along. We're walking. We're not running. We're not doing anything, just walking. He kind of had grabbed my hand like really elegantly and just walked. So I'm trying to ask him a question, and he's just like not really saying anything. And then it was God, and he was saying, "I love you, my child. I love you." You know, he was really trying to assure me that he was my father. So when I sat, then we sat down on this bench, and it was Jesus sitting with me on the bench, and I was just like trying to figure out what was going on, what he was saying. And I could feel in my spirit that he was telling me to be still. Just be still and know that I am God. You've got a lot of things going on. You're trying to do too much. You're doing a lot this, you know, and you're looking for this and you're looking for that. And I always had this issue of not being able to yield before the Lord so I can hear him talking to me. And so he said, just sit here. And we were quiet. And it was the most beautiful quiet. And then later, when the ladies were sharing, he showed me that the storm was all the stuff that was in my mind that was being bottled around. The rain's going this way and that way. And it was just a mess. And he just pulled me out of that. And he had my hand the whole time that storm was going on. So when we walked away from it, it was clear. So it's just another way of him showing me that he's still with me even through the storms, and that I need to just spend some time with him alone and let just in peace and quiet.
I couldn't help but think about that book, The Invitation. You read it, you're going to so relate. That encounter is going to so speak to you. Powerful. That's good. Anybody else? You don't have to share your encounter. Anybody have any questions or thoughts, or you didn't understand something or ideas? Anybody? All right, you got it all figured out. Okay, so I'm just checking in. Which way he wants to go. Wow, I'm not hearing a thing. Anybody have any direction? You're just swinging. That's good. We need a bunch of rocking chairs in here so we can all just sit and rock the whole time. Yes.
So like if somebody's having a harder time connecting or lots of stuff going on, what's your basic, like for themselves or for somebody if you're facilitating, the basic like how to enter just to take baby steps or like how to connect, you know, just in a simple manner within it's so difficult, you know, there's lots of ways.
There are a lot of ways to. So first of all, I would ask the Lord for help. How do we do this? And like I said, there's a number of ways. So I've had the experience with that where their minds just race and they can't. So we get a piece of paper, write it down, get it off your, whatever you're thinking about, just write it down. Let's get it out of your brain and on paper. Give them a few minutes. And if that doesn't do it, that usually is pretty effective. Another one is to ask them to tell you about a time when they know that they know that they know that they encountered the Lord. And get them to tell that to you. And then as soon as they tell you the story, ask them to step into that memory. It's not imagination, it's a real live memory. Step into that memory. And often that, they might say, well, I don't have that time. Well, tell me about your salvation experience. Because that was an encounter, whether they realize it or not. And then go into the memory. Ask the Lord to, you know, let them see or hear or perceive. And go and let the memory continue on. Let him continue the story. You know, so those are some. Because if you can connect with a real live event where you know that you know that you know that you that somehow, some way Yeshua or Yahweh interacted with you, you immediately get your relational circuits on. If somebody's brain's racing, their circuits are off. That's a left brain activity. So you've got somebody that's not, their relational circuits aren't on. So you can laugh together. You can eat together. I've done that, actually. I've gotten out from a session to get somebody's circuits on because I happen to know they really love food. And brought food down and we ate. We took 15 minutes and ate something together. And then we went back in and they were connecting, able to connect. So any of those attunement, relational circuit tools, yawning, just keep your teeth in. Or not. Yeah. Good question, Sally. Yeah. Just remember, they're not, their circuits aren't on. Yeah. Kidoki. Anybody have any direction?
Anything at all.
Toby, what's the Lord saying? Praise and worship time? Well, we are. That's what we're doing. Yeah, worshiping. Also, on the advanced training, if you're interested in attending, it will be limited. So you're going to want to contact cindy.grove@harvesthome.org and reserve your spot. I have no idea. Yeah, as the Lord leads. Every time it's going to be different. How do you know that? Different people here. And Yep. All right. Anybody have anything? If not, we're going to dismiss. He's definitely coming. Come on up.
Anyway, I met her, well, it's 19 years ago now, and I was, some of you probably already heard this, I was set free for 4 months out of rehab, and it was a bodybuilder and drugs and alcohol, crazy bill, and seeing a demon in my house, la, la, la. And then I get filled with the Holy Ghost in rehab, did not know what happened to me, had a vision, dream, could hear him. Wow. And for 3 years, he's all over me, and he's downloading. And I wasn't raised in a church, so that's a good thing, really. But she had, when she prophesied over me, Joseph, she sees Joseph, that you'll be... That was my first safe place when he came in me. I was safe for the first time. Everything changed, colors, laughter. I mean, playing with my dog was not even the same because I was drunk all the time or doing stupid stuff, but, man, I couldn't stop. But he set me completely free 19 years ago. And so when my pastor's wife took me to this conference, she's the one that prophesied, I see Joseph over you and on you, and every time I look at you, I see Joseph, and I'm, oh, okay. And she said, he said, when you learn to be loved, big key, then learn to love others, you'll be out in the field with Jesus with a crown on your head, helping people come out of the pit because you know how they feel. And then there was someone else with her that said, you'll be raised up like a horse, but a special racehorse. And then I had people see visions when they would lay hands on me as me and a horse and foam coming out of my mouth and the Holy Spirit keeping me in the pen because I was like... Wow, I mean, I met him. And so I knew, I didn't have a clue. And long story short, they get me back up here in 16 years later because I'm having visions of these books. And I get back in contact with her, haven't talked to her in 16 years. And this is my family now. And so when she handed me the book, The Bride, at the conference, there's a message in here for you. It's my whole journey, which I'm sure you can relate, but I mean whole journey. And even in the midst of going through all that, not knowing about the crushing and the testing and the refining, thank God I passed because, well, you know, I love him and I love others and I was a mess. And I know what it feels like to be hurt so bad and just rejected, even though you look so good on the outside. Who cares? And so I go into this church with my friend bought, and I knew 2 years ago that I was going to do a conference, and I just happened to mention it, and then, of course, for 2 years, they've been trying to get me to do something. I'm like, no. Well, we have this conference. He told me about how many people were going to show up. I was sort of shocked, because I said, will you do it if one or five people show up, the people that I have singing worship, and they said, yes, I said, good. Because if one person shows up, I'm doing the conference. And it was so amazing, but the night before, people were saying, Sue, you need to have people come in, maybe pray over the grounds. I'm like, nah, not really. Oh, they need to, I'm like, nah, he's already there. He's going to be there. He already told me. Yeah, I don't have to do any of that. And so I had a few people come by just if they wanted to worship. And I walk upstairs, and they're just quiet. I'm like, hey. They look at me, I'm like, why are you so quiet? He is fun. You can talk out loud. Anyway, they didn't change, but that's all right. And so I knelt down at the end, and this guy that has been delivered from witchcraft and homosexuality, man, he's got a voice. Whew. 6 years ago, I love this guy. He laid hands on me, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, and he had a vision. Well, he saw. He said, I see you in your wedding gown. And he said, you have a bouquet in your hands, and you're about to throw it. And there's a crowd behind you, and the people are diving for it when you throw it. But the ones that catch it, their lives will be changed because of your yes. I'm like, that's crazy. Wow. And then another lady said, I see flowers all over the place, Sue. And when you get up to talk, the flowers start blooming. You know, the garden. And then I get there, and I'm like, you guys, there's no rules. If you have to go to the bathroom, walk by me. I don't care. You know, if you got to leave, leave, because I'm not leaving until he's done. And, you know, you do what you need to do. And so, and I said, I'm not getting up here and talking until he tells me to talk. We're going to worship. And I don't have a clue how long it was, because I never look at the clock. And so I get up, and things just start rolling. And I'm doing all these funny skits that he told me from my past and all the stuff it took to get me delivered from vanity and just perfectionism and competition and performance and all that mess and rejection. And we were there till almost 4, started at 9, 10-ish. And at the back, I decided to get in the back away from everybody because I just wanted to be in the back, and I'm worshiping. And the lady beside me, she said, Sue, I see, she didn't know I was back there, but she's worshiping, eyes closed. And she said, Sue, I see Jesus. I was seeing Jesus. He was putting on his garments. And the father said, go get my bride. And the doors to the church slung wide open. And she said, then you're standing there, Sue, because the great thing that you get to do when I touch people in my massage room, I don't have to say nothing. He does it. And I told him a long time ago, I don't want anybody to say Sue Barnes. I don't want, no, I don't want, did you have her pray for you? I don't want that. And about 2 years ago, a lady came in, and I know her past, and she's pretty wounded from the church and just people. And when I was done doing a massage on her, he said, release my presence and get out. So I did. She came out crying, you guys, and she said, no one's prayed for me like that in years. I'm thinking, I did not do nothing. And she said, Jesus walked in the room, took her heart out, and where it was hard, healed it and put it back in. I mean, and when I was walking up at to the conference before it even started, I look up and there's an eagle. It's a bald eagle, and he does that with me, and it goes higher and higher and higher till it's gone. And I'm like, wow, those who wait upon the Lord. Okay. Well, renew their strength. They'll mount up in eagle's wings or run and not grow weary. And I've been waiting, but I'm not in a rush because it's his timing. And so I'm going up the steps and I look down and there's a dove's feather. Right there. I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, if you know Song of Solomon, you know some of this stuff. And I'm like, what in the world? Why would you pick me to do all this? But golly, what an honor to be able to tell people how much he can do for you, how much he wants to do for you, how much he wants to touch your heart, how much he just wants you to come to him all messed up from the floor up. He already knows. And just hang out with him. You ain't got to do nothing. You just need to come. And people just don't come because they're not told, man, he thinks you're great. He died just for you. You know, even the one in the street, you know, you walk by, he's like, man, do you know him? He thinks you're great. And they don't know. And that's what we get to go do. We get to go get them and bring them in. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that amazing? Oh, stay in love. That's all I can tell you.
Amen. Excellent. Anybody else have anything to share? You want to preach? You want to prophesy? You want to?
I shared this in our group. We looked at the fourth example about making a scripture verse your own. And I thought I'd share this because it's so easy. And if you have company over after you've had dessert or you talked, you can say, hey, I learned this little exercise. And I thought we could just try it out. So no one feels like they're on the spot. You know, oh, we're going to try it out. Okay. I said there's three steps to it, and it comes out of 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares upon him because he cares for you. And I said, while we were talking, I heard different problems that you were talking about, and I said, let's ask the Lord, and we'll each do it for our own self. What cares are we carrying in our heart that he would like to carry? And I said, he'll show you some, and you already know some. And I said, in your mind's eye, you can just, you know, take them out of your heart and put them on a pile or put them in a bucket or whatever you want to do. And I said, the second part then is we're going to give them over to the Lord. And then there's a third part. So I said, let's just start at the first. And I said, I pray, Lord, show us the stuff we're carrying that you want to carry for us. And I said, I also say, it can be stuff that you need to work through someday, but whenever he can carry it until that someday comes and it's the right time. And so I wait about a minute or a minute and a half till the Lord says okay, or sometimes I have people do a thumbs up depending how large a group is. Anyway, then part two, we toss it, throw it, cast it to the Lord, and I say, Lord, if it's in your will, show what you're doing with it. And he almost always does. And then the third step, in Matthew, there's a parable about a woman who swept her house clean and didn't fill it with anything. And then worse demons came back. So I said, the Lord wants to fill those empty places now in your heart that you pulled that stuff out. So let's ask him what he wants to give you. And it's such a powerful exercise, and I haven't had anyone that didn't connect with it. It's just a simple way of meeting with the Lord. And then, you know the old song, well, it's not old, it's a newer one, but it's older at the same time, of going to the Lord. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. To give that little exercise possibility to y'all.
Oh, as you were sharing, I mentioned something about let the little children come unto me. And we didn't get to it. We're like two pages to go in the manual. But encounters with children, I have had the opportunity this past year. So me and my husband live an hour away in Kansas. And I've been working in a preschool, private Christian school, and I've had the opportunity to, for the whole school year, to do group encounters with 4 and 5-year-olds. And what I learned and observed is kids are so, they just believe. They don't have any hindrances. They, you know, I had them be quiet for a minute. I told them, you have to be quiet so that our friends can encounter us. I didn't want to make them encounter the Lord because that's not Christ-like and may get in trouble for that one. But just for a whole minute, just be quiet. And then when they got something from the Lord, I made little journals for each month and based it on a theme of the fruits of the Spirit to kind of introduce them, because there's 9 months out of the school year, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. So each month created a new book. They can't write words yet, but they can draw. So I've created blank pages in between, and they loved those things. So I told them, draw whatever the Lord's putting on your heart. And I would bring my guitar and do some worship and tell them, you can either sing with me or pray quietly to keep them in order, because they're 4 and 5, and I had like 15 in one room, something like that. And the whole year and every month, I just have different ones. Can we do the journals? And they'd want to share. They would be like jumping over top of each other to share what the Lord had given them. And some of them wanted to share out loud. Some just wanted to come and show me. But they all wanted to share. And it's like this, the Lord is screaming, let the children come to me. And I almost feel like the enemy wants to shut down the imagination, because he knows how powerful it is if we actually give it to him. And kids are so trusting, because they haven't been tainted by the world. They haven't been taught the doctrines. They image after. They're very impressionable. So, and what I saw was, after doing that, so teaching them how to hear from the Lord and then write down, you know, draw what they see, just exercising that muscle, bringing it into manifest, bringing heaven to earth, to apply it to their life. Then whenever they'd be an upset between two of them or just them, I could just point blank ask them, do you want to talk to Jesus or Yeshua about that? And whether they said yes or no didn't matter. They returned to joy right away. They didn't even have to hardly ask. They just that concept of giving it to the Lord, talking about it to him, they didn't even question. And then the cool part was, if there was a conflict between two of them, I'd ask him, do you want to apologize? Or no, we needed to apologize. I asked him, do you want to ask for forgiveness? And they did. And the other one forgave, and they would it was instant. There was no question. No, I need to process this. I need to. It was just instantaneous. That's what I saw in the classroom, and I'm just like, wow, what has happened to your kids, Lord? I mean, the big kids, all of us, because I struggle, you know. I've just been learning so much from just what I've been observing in the classroom. And if the children can do it, where's the church? And I'm asking that of myself. I'm asking that of my congregation, because I've taken this to our congregation and told them, I do this with 5-year-olds. We can do this. And I've actually done it with them. I present it that way. And then just, and people hear from the Lord and then pass the mic. What is the Lord saying? What is he speaking? And the other thing is with kids. So, you know, there's creatures in the throne room. And kids will draw monsters, mostly the boys. And, you know, the first couple of days, I came home and talked to my husband about it. I'm like, what is it? And I have this book. He actually showed it to me. It's Brad Jerzak. It's Ken. What's it called?
Yep.
Yeah, that one. That book. I used that the whole year. And it's so simple. It talks about different ways that the Lord comes. And, yeah, as a friend, sometimes he thunders. But we don't have to be afraid. And with the things that the kids were drawing, as long as they weren't afraid, as long as they were joyful and they felt the Lord's presence, that's what matters. Because creatures in the throne room can look funny to adults. And when I try to interpret it, it can shut the kids down. So just, you know, letting them encounter him and validating. And if they do have something like, this alien is attacking my family, then I can ask them, well, do you want Jesus, Yeshua, to take that away? And they did right there. They asked the Lord to come and take it away. And that fear left, and they returned to joy, like right now. It was really amazing. And I don't know if I'll get that opportunity to do it again. But I'm really glad that the Lord opened that door. This stuff is real and powerful.
Except you become as little children, right? Talking about the power of the imagination, it made me think about it. I think I was in Topeka doing a training, and a lady came up to me at the break and was on the imagination, and she said, she told me her story, that she had been a practicing witch. And she said the first meeting she went to, the leader had everybody in the room, the very first thing they had them do was consecrate their imaginations to Satan. And you know, when I heard that, I thought, Satan is no dummy. He watches what Yahweh does in his kingdom and what he values, and he copies it. He steals it. So if you ever wonder if this, what we're doing here by consecrating your imagination, really means something, just remember that. That's what they do in their covens. The first thing, they consecrate their imagination to Satan. Another conference I was doing, and a lady was having trouble connecting. She kept having false Jesuses coming, and so I was troubleshooting with her. And I asked, you know, I just saw a picture in my mind of a bookcase with some books on it that weren't good. And I said, I told her what I saw and asked her if that was true and did she have any books that were ungodly. And she just said, well, yeah, I think. I said, okay, like, what are they? And she said, she too was a witch, gotten saved just a couple of months before. And the people that led her to the Lord told her not to worry about her witchcraft books. Yeah. And she just kept them. And I went, well, that's the problem. That's why you've got all these false Jesuses coming. That's the open door and gives him permission. She said, all right, I'll be back. I'm leaving. I'm going to get rid of them. What should I do with them? And I said, well, in the Bible, they burned them. She said, all right. So she was gone a little bit and then came back and taken care of. She said, now can I try it again? So we did. And she saw the very same picture that she had seen before several times. She was walking down a dirt road and Jesus walks up. There was a tire swing there. And it turned out before that Jesus would turn into a monster. And so this time she comes back, she said, oh no, I see the same dirt road, there's a tire swing, here comes Jesus, you know. And I went, let's just watch. And I said, let's just keep going, let's see what happens. So she walks up and she says, oh, it's not the real Jesus. And I said, invite the real Jesus, the one who died on the cross for your sins. So she did. And she goes, oh, here comes another Jesus. And so I said, okay, let's just watch. So the second Jesus walks up to her, smiles and nods, turns to the other Jesus and goes, and he just goes up in flames. He's just like gone. And then he turned and looked at her and said, I'm the real thing. And anyway, yeah. So there is such a thing as a false Jesus. And always test the spirits to see if they come from God. And you can always ask that question. Don't just ask, are you Jesus or are you the Son of God? Are you the Son of God who died for me? And if that is a false Jesus, it's going to either twitch or it's going to shiver or it's going to wet its pants or it's going to do something, because it can't stand that statement. It will manifest in some way. You just got to watch it. I just tell them, watch and see. If you see a twitch, a hiccup, anything, I want to know it. So And sometimes people, another thing, sometimes that false Jesus is not a spirit. It's what that person believes to be true about him. Because it's not always a demon. So if it doesn't go when you cast it out, it's most likely what that person believes to be true about Yeshua. That he doesn't care about them, that he's da-da-da-da, or he's mean, or he's whatever. And then you have to deal with the person's beliefs. Yeah, Colleen. Yeah, it could certainly be a generational spirit passed down the bloodline, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, especially if you got somebody that was in witchcraft in your bloodline. Yeah. All right, I think, unless somebody has something else. I'm pretty sure it's 5 o'clock. I'll check. Oh, me. Well, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for being with us these 2 days. Thank you for handpicking us to come and be together and seek your face. I thank you for every person who's here. I pray, Father, that you would continue to draw them with cords of loving kindness, that you would continue to reveal yourself to them. I pray that you would lead and guide us all into truth. And Father, would you prepare us as we prepare ourselves for the day that's coming soon, the great wedding day. We ask for dreams and visions and revelation from heaven. Give us insight. And Father, would you continue to deliver us from evil and from the evil one? Would you continue to heal us and get out of us those landmines that our past put into us? We don't want to have anything in us that's not of Christ. I just think of you, Yeshua, when you said that Satan found nothing in you. Your bride will be at the end of the age. Satan won't be able to find anything except Christ in us. We ask for that. We ask for you to do that work and put that desire in our hearts. And Father, would you keep us from performance-based Christianity? Teach us what it looks like to surrender and simply allow you to live your life through us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy towards us. And would you set your seal on each one of us? Seal us. And we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise because you're the only one that deserves it. Pray for protection as every person leaves. Keep them safe. And I pray, Father, for everyone here that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. For your glory. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.